the regular meeting of the Board of Education to order on Wednesday, June 18th, 2025 at 6 p.m.
Quiet!
Please rise. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call, Grandaw here, Gracie.
Here.
Cherry.
Here.
Cadwalader.
Here.
Hanson.
Here.
Deschain.
Here.
Siebert.
Here.
All right, number four, approval of the agenda.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
A second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number five, consider motion to approve consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes, May 21st, 2025. General fund vouchers, voids 109260, 109261. ACHs 242, 500, 206 through 242, 500228 for $26,279.29. Checks 109161 through 109329 for $513,281.41. Wire transfers 202400076 through 202400080 for $208,044.60 for a total of $747,605.30.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number six, public input. All right, we'll go over the rules one more time. Participants must be recognized by the presiding officer and will be requested to preface their comments by an announcement of their name. Each statement made by a participant shall be limited to 3 minutes duration. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic unless all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. The presiding officer may interrupt, warn, or terminate a participant's statement when the statement is too lengthy, personally directed, abusive, obscene, or irrelevant. All right.
All right, I can start. Justin Pujic. I have some really good news to report. The school is doing an independent investigation, from what I was told by a board member. The investigation is in regards to the sex culture. Sounds like we are finally doing something right. But upon further review, the investigation was set up without the consent of the school board and without a single vote of any board member. Who set it up? Indications suggest that the school board president, the superintendent, and the school legal counsel participated in the choosing the details of this investigation without the consent or knowledge of the other school board members. The Board of Education is here for a reason to make decisions such as these. As reported by a school board member, the board president alerted the other board members of the investigation via email after it had already been decided on. So who do we choose to run this so-called independent investigation? Admonson Davis Law Firm, which is great, until you realize that our current school legal counsel worked for Admonson Davis Law Firm up until approximately 1 year ago. Oh, and another interesting dynamic is many people have proposed that our legal counsel seems to be acting in the interest of the board president and the superintendent above all other board members. I emailed my concerns about this very obvious conflict of interest to the entire school board and our administrator. I also expressed my concern with our president and superintendent not utilizing the school board like they're supposed to, and I received no response from any of my email recipients. This is a failure of the school board president's duty to blatantly disregard a constituent's concerns regarding a very serious matter. You are on a school board to represent constituents. Perhaps she didn't address the situation because she didn't think her corruption would be caught. I'm told by a board member that the school board has many options available to them in their handbook for properly setting up independent investigations. I'm sure we can come up with many options that don't involve conflicts of interest. Is the president and superintendent looking for a predetermined outcome? Are they trying to check a box to appease the DPI? What's going on here exactly? Why does our leadership have such an issue with providing transparency? I believe they just thought everyone would stick their head in the sand and look the other way. You are insulting the intelligence of your community. Please give us a real investigation. This is another example of the continued abuse of power.
Damon Roman. I'm a parent. Thank you to the board for your attention to this matter. Having completed over 40 hours of school board training, I've gained valuable insights into board operations. One recommendation I'd like to make is for our board to hold regular town hall meetings to maintain open communication with the community and to hear directly from students and teachers and concerns they have. Furthermore, I'm concerned the district may be in violation of Title IX regulations. A significant number of parents and students have come forward expressing concerns about unequal treatment and retaliation. In light of this, I urge the board to take emergency action and immediately address these concerns by implementing a reliable reporting system, providing mandatory safe sport training for employees and coaches, and enforcing policies to prevent unprofessional and sometimes vindictive behavior within the athletic department. To the students who have spoke, we do hear you. You are not alone. Government reacts slowly, and it's always worth your time. It is a reasonable goal that I believe we can collectively work towards. Thank you for your commitment to serving our community and hearing us.
Thank you.
You go right ahead. You're welcome.
Good evening, everyone. I just want to quickly let you all know.
Can you state your name so our reporter can hear?
Just want to let everybody know what I've been up to since the last board meeting. I've read the book, Great on Their Behalf, Why School Boards Fail, and How Yours Can Become Effective. I did this because I want to make sure that I'm educated on how school boards should perform and what my rights are as a parent and potential, maybe someday, school board member. In the future, I would like to complete the training that comes along with this book. I have also completed my renewal for safe sport training. I'm completely disgusted. It has not been on the agenda since I brought it up. Seemed like everybody was in support of it. Heard it was talked about in closed session. Not once on the agenda. I do not understand. I don't think you guys realize the courage that it took and how hard it was for these girls to stand up in front of you and everyone in this room and tell you their true feelings about what happened last season in basketball through their eyes. They thought the adults were here to help them and protect them, and now their confidential surveys are missing. And now you guys can't even implement a simple, powerful program to make sure that they never have to go through this again. So, I ask you, Ms. President, to please put it on the agenda.
Bonnie?
Bonnie Beamer, living Corvettes. It really bothers me to see in the paper all this negative going on. Yes, we have an excellent school, excellent teachers, excellent students. Some of them give me white hair. That's why they call me Grandma Coach here, I'm a crank. Right? Yes, I know you were saying that. I would like to see some positive things about our school in the paper and not negative stuff all the time. Yes, we have an issue that needs to be resolved between you kids and whatever the courtroom situation is. I'm not involved in that. I don't know. I would like you folks to be more positive. I feel that you as a board should authorize the information going into the paper. Individual board members, yes. You're putting articles in. That's your right. But it should be not put in by the paper saying a school board member said this. It should be approved by the whole board the way you're putting in the paper. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sarah Roman, a parent in the district. I am concerned about the unequal access to sports opportunities for our female athletes, as well as the lack of acceptable resolutions to concerns without fear of retaliation. I have been informed by other concerned parents that similar issues exist in boys' athletics and that they are hesitant to speak out due to fear of retaliation against their children. My family has also experienced retaliatory treatment, and I would be willing to provide more information in a private setting, as some of it involves a volunteer rather than an employee. I am frustrated by the repeated dissemination of misinformation suggesting that parents have not followed the proper chain of command. In reality, parents in our community have submitted formal complaints over many years, which have been consistently ignored by district leadership. This reflects attention from the issue at hand. It deflects. The efforts we have undertaken after exhausting the chain of command without achieving a satisfactory resolution are not a one-sided attack by disgruntled parents, but rather they represent a necessary push for reform to advocate on behalf of our students. Through this process, it has become clear that the district requires support to ensure an open and fair communication between the public and the district. This can be achieved through mandatory public input with interactive listening sessions, mandatory interactive live streaming of all board meetings, and mandatory board training for all board members. And this we have submitted through proper channels to try to get put into state legislation. These measures would not only ensure that we prioritize student outcomes, which should be the board's primary focus, but also provide board members with the necessary support and skills to confidently lead and achieve these outcomes. Without each member fully understanding and exercising their authority, rights, and responsibilities to ensure student outcomes, how can we expect them to execute these responsibilities effectively? Having served on the board without this vital training, I can confidently attest that is essential for a successful board and for providing equal access to all students. Thank you for your time and for your service.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Next.
I'll go next.
Whoops.
Oh, go ahead.
Ladies first.
I prefer to go last.
Okay. My name is Brecken Ott. First, I'd like to address the surveys that were given in May. During this time, we were aware that the survey was an idea that came up during a board meeting. The entire team was fully aware of the situation that was occurring, so we expected our surveys to be given directly to the board for evaluation. We were, in fact, told our responses were confidential, which makes me question why our coach is using them for quote-unquote personal reflection. I've spoken to many of my teammates, and we would much rather give the board an opportunity to read through our answers and identify us as individuals rather than our coaches and teachers. For this reason, I'd like to recite a few of my questions and responses. What is your coach good at? What does he do correctly? I know multiple of my teammates left that space blank, another one who wrote the word nothing. Do you feel safe to speak about your experiences? I answered no, because I'm afraid I will face retaliation on the court and in school. What is one thing your coach could improve? I said, make practices and games a more positive environment so players don't leave the gym crying, stressed, and overwhelmed. Is there favoritism towards one player on your team? The choices were never, rarely, sometimes, or always. I answer always. Secondly, I would like to address the allegations regarding playing time, favoritism, and team selection. While I do recognize that every sport has these same issues, there's a larger problem in girls' basketball. It's not about who gets the most time on the court, it's about what occurs behind closed doors. I'm truthfully giving my input, so it frustrates me when people deny what I had to undergo firsthand. There's a select group of us who are isolated, constantly yelled at, compared to others, belittled, and were clearly upset during practice. To remedy the problem, me and another teammate were told that we were quote-unquote uncoachable and had to figure out our personal problems. Thank you.
Thank you.
Grace Dunn, I would like to address the situation regarding the surveys we were given in May. We were informed that these surveys would be confidential. However, I provided my honest opinion, unaware that these surveys would be shared with the coach for personal improvement. Many of my teammates and I were unaware and uncomfortable with these surveys being shared with the coach in pursuit of retaliation. Additionally, I would like to address the fact that basketball has changed for the majority of us, not because we have lost interest in the sport, but because we are not comfortable being belittled. The constant screaming this group of us undergone often led to tears and a desire to quit. Also, I would like to point out that a total of 4 girls attended our first summer camp. Last year, The whole varsity team was there.
Thank you.
Is this separate issue?
I have one regarding the surveys.
Nope, wait.
Nope, go first.
Not until everybody's talked about the subject that was issued.
Well, I have a separate issue. It's not part of the subject.
Okay.
I have a comment referencing the surveys. Paul, go ahead.
Damon Roman, parent. I want to take a moment to congratulate the middle and high school track teams on our successful season. The varsity high school coach has dedicated numerous years of service. I'm thankful that several of my children had the privilege to play for him. I'd also like to acknowledge both middle school coaches for their outstanding communication with parents again throughout the season. Their prompt responses to questions, often within minutes, was truly appreciated. Finally, I wanted to express my gratitude to everyone involved in Junior Olympics. This event offered a unique opportunity for elementary school students to experience the high school facilities, and the only area of improvement was the weather could have been way better. I understand that plans are in place to continue hosting this event, and I strongly support this initiative. As always, thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
I have a public comment that finishing up on the survey subject. Justin Pujic. There's been a lot of really concerning leadership decisions lately. In the April 30th, I know it doesn't start out with the surveys, but it'll get there. In the April 30th edition of the Peshtigo Times, our administrator is quoted referencing the need for bringing forward complaints to use the chain of command. However, if you rewind approximately 2 months before this, on March 26th of this year, this same administrator directly participated in hand-delivering a complaint to me about potentially disseminating information of a fellow employee and thereby putting me under investigation. She knew this complaint skipped over two members of the proper chain of command custody, but she did it anyway. This is a fact, and it is provable and undeniable. We should not allow such abuses of power from our leadership. She directly participated and engaged in breaking the very rules she alluded to the Peshtigo Times in the April 30th edition. So my question to the administrator is, how do you decide when it's okay to break your own district protocol and favor certain employees? Is it perhaps when they are part of the good old boys club, when they receive the preferential treatment? Next, at the April 16th board meeting, many concerned community members voiced concerns about what many people would describe as a basketball coach being emotionally abusive towards players. Couple this with community concerns of a coach who many believe retaliates and also gets caught on tape saying he will be vindictive. And somehow our administrator allows anonymous surveys to be delivered from fearful and hesitant players to the alleged emotionally abusive coach. This is negligence, and it is absurd. This is absolutely disgusting leadership, and I hope our school board and community does not stand for it.
All right, Pete.
I am Pete Pancook, taxpayer and voter. I'm here because of a public records request that's been denied. I had my attorneys look at it. You best honor the request, because this is going to get ugly. And if I send you an email and you don't reply, it gets even uglier. That's your warning. That's all I have to say at this point.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, I'm Randall Kopiski, member or distinguished guest. So I'm the head coach of the Kirbis High School trap shooting team. I usually come to one school board meeting every year, and it's this one. I do have a line item on the agenda this evening. I do want to show this off. This is going to hopefully get hung in the school here. Tom? So we started the high school trap shooting team 4 years ago in the spring of 22, and we just completed our fourth spring season. We had 31 student athletes go out for the sport this season. 25 were on the roster, and we won our first conference championship. Just want to share a few highlights. We had 10 volunteers. I call them sentrymen because they all put in over 100 hours every season. We practice 3 times a week, Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. Not every kid comes out and does it every time. but we raised $26,000 to pay for the entire season. And we're trying to get our kids to the national tournament in July. Key things to point out, I'd like to put some people on a pedestal. Caleb Chakowski, freshman, top gun in the conference, and top gun on the team. We're working on him to get top gun in the state. And if you have any questions about the line item, I'll be available for the duration of the meeting.
When we get down to the information discussion. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? All right.
I guess I'll go again. I was just waiting to see if everyone was done.
No, we're done.
I thought you can speak as long as everyone finishes.
All right. One more time.
All right, just on the function of the school board. Our school board is not functioning the way it was designed to, and here's what I mean. The administrator and president are colluding to advance decision-making and policy without the knowledge of the remaining board. They decide their game plan on how to address and tackle issues behind the scenes, but in the meanwhile, the remaining board members are often left in the dark. Once the administrator and president have decided how to manipulate and convince the board members of their plan of action, they simply bring it to the board and play a game of follow the leader. It is also believed that several letters addressed to the board that contain dissenting views have been hidden from the other board members, never to see the light of day. It is suspected that they are being suppressed by the administrator and president. It is a huge problem how the administrator and president are running things. First of all, this gives the administrator far too much power. She is essentially given way more power to influence policy than the six other ignored board members combined. Although she doesn't technically get a vote, she can rig the system and allow the board to see and hear information that matches the agenda of the superintendent and president. This is how they keep their monopoly on corruption. Right now, because of the corruption of the administrator and the president, they have essentially created a meaningless rubber-stamped school board. Now, the school board technically has the ability to reverse this corrupt system, but it would take education, determination, and grit, because the administrator and president will not give up their corrupt and manipulative ways very easily. That is quite apparent. Our superintendent has made it abundantly clear that she does not serve in the best interest of the parents and community, and she certainly does not serve in the best interest of keeping your children safe, unless they have very specific last names. Several months ago, parents started expressing concerns about retaliation and fear over simply bringing forward legitimate concerns, and our administrator's response was to double down and create more retaliation, more fear, and to employ the chilling effect to the community on several occasions. Now, ironically, the chilling effect is terminology our legal counsel is quite familiar with. You have to wonder where our administrator is getting her fear-mongering strategies from. I am asking the community to be wise and knowledgeable about the corrupt nature of the current administration. I am asking the school board members to not accept taking on the duty of a meaningless position that is currently nothing more than a feather in your cap, which some of you seem to be content with. And I am asking the community to start standing up and stop being afraid. If we stay silent, they stay corrupt. There are way more of us than of them, and they know it, and that's why they are scared of us.
All right. One once. All right, moving on. Reports. A committee reports. Number one, policy curriculum.
The policy and curriculum committee met this evening and discussed a policy, which is 5411, third grade promotion and retention for at-risk students. And we decided to bring that to the whole board tonight.
All right. Personnel negotiations met tonight, and we're going to recommend to the full board that we move a 5-hour part-time special ed paraprofessional to full-time due to needs in the student population. All right, B, administrative reports. Number one, Mrs. Robinson.
Last week, the district received a notice of injury from a person who fell out of the bleachers at the elementary school during a third party's basketball tournament. on March 2nd. Our insurance carrier has been notified, and we have provided them with the information they've requested from us. An adjuster came out to take photos and video of the bleachers, as well as collect our inspection reports, which are done annually. Second, since the last meeting, we had an internal employee reach out interested in the community ed supervisor position. I have now moved Julie Patefield into that position. She was previously a part-time secretary at the elementary school since 2021. The part-time elementary secretary position is now posted. Third, the construction has started at the elementary school. Last week, the site work started with taking down fencing along the north and east borders of the playground. This week, the roofers were on site starting the roofing project. The rain recently hasn't allowed too much progress, but the project has officially started. And lastly, I'd like to make it known that there are inaccuracies in the PestEco Times article published today. Comments in the article about past investigations and the function of the PDP are misrepresented and untrue. The district has been in contact with DPI about the investigation and is working with them accordingly.
That's all I have. All right. Thank you. Mr. Bauman.
Instead of speaking about the custodial staff doing a terrific job, and the start of summer strength and conditioning at the high school like I normally would do at this point in the year, an incident on Monday caused me to want to speak about something else tonight. I attended a golf outing for area school districts on Monday, and as I was walking to my truck after a particularly bad round of golf, which is normal for me, I heard someone shout, "Hey, Cribbets!" I assumed they were talking to me since I was wearing one of my Cribbets polo shirts, and I walked over to the four gentlemen sitting at a table on the golf course's patio. They said, "Are you from Cribbets? What a great district. You guys are doing great things over there." I tried to figure out what district they were from, but they weren't wearing school polos, so I thanked them and asked them if they were familiar with the area. Not surprisingly, they owned cabins, actually out by Newton Lake, and we talked for about 5 minutes longer while they all kept repeating that they wished that they lived in this area. After this brief conversation, I drove to Bayport to coach basketball, but I thought about the conversation all night, the conversation I've had with people outside of Cribbets more often than one might think. July 1st will mark the start of my 30th year in the district, 16 of them as middle high school principal. And you know what? Those gentlemen are right. I am lucky. I work in a district with a terrific group of students, a dedicated teaching staff, an administrative team that strives to provide our students with a quality education that will prepare them for a career after high school is over. Cribbets High School is one of the best small school districts in the state. Of the 8 public schools in Marinette County and the 3 in O'Connell County who are in our conference, Cribbets has ranked either the best or second best on the state report card every single year. Surring, kind of surprised me, but Surring, and I mean that in
the nicest possible way.
Uh-huh. Surring is the only school who has ranked ahead of us at any point in the last 5 years, but we are far ahead of them in student performance on the ACT test. In the last official ACT ranking data from 2022, Cribbets students ranked 115th out of 569 schools in the state, while the next closest in our county, Goodman Pembine Beecher, ranked 246th. This data is based on student performance in the 4 core areas: English, math, science, and social studies. And I would like to thank our 9 teachers in those subject areas: Mrs. Retza, Mrs. Brown, Mrs. Pluker, Ms. Stillings, Mrs. Bowen, Mr. Ott, Mrs. Myers, Mr. Myers, and Mr. Dorsner. As I get closer to the end of my career, your dedication to our students is even more meaningful. If I had time, I would individually thank every teacher in our district, but unfortunately, that cannot be the case tonight. Lastly, as Mrs. Robinson mentioned some time ago, Cribbets High School has been nominated this year for the prestigious National Blue Ribbon Award, given out by the U.S. Department of Education. We were the only high school in Wisconsin nominated in the Closing the Gaps category, and only one other high school in Marinette County has ever earned the National Blue Ribbon Award in its 42-year history, even though and that was actually Wasaukee in 2009. Even though I hate golf, playing in that scramble was one of the best things I did this year. It reaffirmed how fortunate I am to work with the rest of the staff at Kravitz Middle High School. Thank you.
Thank you. Mrs. Damon.
Shortly before the end of the school year, our elementary student council wrapped up a meaningful community service project by collecting much-needed supplies for the Menominee Animal Shelter. After gathering and delivering the donations, students got to spend time petting and playing with the animals, which ended up to be a rewarding experience for both the students and their new furry friends. The student council also spent a heartwarming day spreading joy at New Care in Kravitz. They created cozy tie blankets and thoughtful gift baskets for the residents and delivered them. During their visit, the students spent time playing balloon volleyball. They also played board games and did crafts with the residents. It was a special morning filled with smiles, laughter, and meaningful connections. On Wednesday, June 4th, we held our 4K graduation celebration. The gymnasium was packed with parents and grandparents who were there to support the 56 students who will be moving on to 5K next year. Best wishes to our Kravitz class of 2038.
Oof.
I know. Summer school is off to a great start. This year, summer school runs from June 9th to June 27th. Between the regular summer school classes and summer band lessons, we have 146 students enrolled in summer school. And I would like to acknowledge our May Elementary Staff Member of the Month, Mrs. Sydney Miskovitz. Ms. Miskovitz was nominated by families of her students for her creativity, caring nature, and ability to make learning fun. She inspires students with the right amount of love and accountability, and she's an amazing teacher, and we are lucky to have her on our elementary team.
All right, thank you. Mr. White.
I should have known Kelly was going to talk about construction, but I'm going to echo some of what she said. Construction at the elementary school is finally underway, with the groundbreaking ceremony taking place Monday, June 9th. Original excavating has already, as was mentioned, removed trees and fencing along the proposed driveway path. And again, the rain has slowed progress for Nazi Roofing, but they have begun tearing off the roof. Also, several mechanical contractors have been on site to disconnect the HVAC equipment, and we had a crane in to take some of that HVAC equipment off the roof. And they're also installing some new roof drains on the third floor. With the construction, I met with a representative from Wisconsin Public Service recently to discuss some options for removing a telephone pole on our property that stands in the way of excavation in the new bus parking area, which is near the 7th Alley at the south end of the building. That pole is only there to act as a support to an adjacent pole that facilitates a T connection, so there's no electrical on the pole itself. However, the project is still in the design phase and will take it about 8 weeks to be completed, so it's going to slow things down a little bit in that area. And lastly, since Mr. Bauman wouldn't talk about summer cleaning and maintenance, we'll take that on. The summer cleaning and maintenance is underway and progressing well. Classrooms are being cleaned from top to bottom, carpets are being scrubbed, and floors are getting fresh coats of wax. I would like to welcome our student summer maintenance workers, Austin Doyen and Landon Toma, to the facility maintenance team.
All right, thank you, Mr. Schramm.
Good evening. As the school year long school closed, we were busy with end-of-the-year activities. We prepared and configured audiovisual and IT equipment for numerous ceremonies, presentations, and events, such as the Junior Olympics, graduation practice, graduation ceremony, eighth-grade recognition practice, along with their ceremony, the elementary PTO raffle, the sectional final for softball, the softball team dinner presentation, to name a few. To say the least, the end of the school is always incredibly busy technology-wise. As our two summer technology assistants happen to be seniors this year, we got a jump start on preparing summer school Chromebooks. With only one day between the end of the regular school year and the beginning of summer school, this didn't leave us much time, much preparation time. However, my seasonal workers were willing to come in the week immediately following graduation, which made a big difference and allowed us to be ready in time. And finally, I'm happy to report that all of our new computers that we ordered a couple months ago are here and on site. The Chromebooks arrived prior to the main meeting, as I reported last month. And the desktops arrived 2 weeks ago. We've already got all approximately 250 of them unboxed, labeled with acetates, and plugged in so we can begin configuration. Happy to report we've made tremendous progress so far on both of those fronts. That's all I have.
Thank you. Information discussion A, 2024-2025 budget revisions.
Sarah Jones will discuss the budget revisions for the 2024-2025 fiscal year. The paper copy of the revenues and expenditures and revisions were in your blue folders today. Go ahead, Sarah.
So, apology that I didn't get to you guys sooner, but we were trying to get as much in that we could, as we still do some expenses for June. But that's why it took so long to get to you guys' board packet. But we have revenues of $49,959,113. Again, this is all everything, our Fund 49 and our Fund 39. And expenses, we have $25,617,388. So we have a fund balance in our Fund 10 and Fund 11. There's going to actually be a loss of $322,257. All the other funds, though, there's positive, so a total change in our fund balance for $24,741,725. Is there any questions?
Was that $322,000 deficit due to a project that we had agreed to do?
It was stuff that was allowed for the out-of-the-fund balance.
Yep. And we talked about building maintenance.
Yes, and in the August budget book, what we had projected based on the projects was $628,282, and it is only $322,257. So it's actually $306,000 less than what was approved in the budget in August.
Alright. Other questions? Alright. 2025-2026 District Workers' Compensation and General Liability and Property Insurance Renewal.
Overall, the change in that package decreased by 1%. That main front summary page is in your board packets, talking about all the different insurances that we carry. And again, when you put them all together, it resulted in a 1% decrease. So after all the increases that we've had over time, it's nice to see a total package decrease. And last year at this time, we were talking about the liability insurance, the property insurance on the elementary school. And that whole process, but because we passed the referendum, have the plans of updating the plumbing, the electrical, the roof, all of those things, it was not an issue this year.
They
like
didn't
it
threaten
was.
To drop us?
They didn't make us go through what we did last year. So that's also a positive. So yeah, again, overall a 1% decrease. So we'll take our wins where we can get them.
Questions? All right. See 2025-2026 student accident insurance renewal.
Okay. Again, that information is in your board packets. However, the cost has increased from $8,580 to $12,605 for that overall student accident insurance. Last year, the board decided to include a catastrophic accident insurance because the increase was only about, I think it was 70 cents per student or something. This year, that overall cost is $712.53, which is about 90 cents per student. So it's gone up some. It's not something that we've used, obviously. The student accident insurance does get used. I mean, that's when someone gets hurt at school. The student accident insurance acts as a secondary insurance, so it helps with any, like, deductible, that kind of stuff. Their personal health insurance kicks in first, and then ours does. It's not something that's required. A lot of schools don't offer it. We always have. But it is a significant increase. It's almost like a 50%. I mean, going from $8,000 to $12,000.
It hasn't gone up, though, for a while.
It has not gone up. Last year, there was a zero increase. Yeah. So, I mean, it is still only $12,000 for what the benefit is to our district families, the financial burden it takes off of them. But that's...
Did they give any indication as to why it was just a natural...
The use of it, you know, the things that happen, you know, kids falling, breaking bones, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, and then they, again, it just acts as a secondary, so depending on what their personal deductible is and how much the student accident insurance has to cover, you know, it gets used. So,
Brooke's still in school.
Anybody else have any questions? All right, D, 2025-2026 food service pricing options.
All right. The board does need to decide tonight on pricing for food service. Last summer, the board decided to enroll in the CEP program, providing free lunches and breakfast for all students. Due to the number of meals served, the program is looking like it will not cost the district anything, which we were anticipating that it would. Due to our numbers, when families had to pay, we anticipated having to do a transfer from Fund 10 to Fund 50. However, that is not the case, and that is because of how many meals were served, basically, how many took advantage of it. In response to the survey that was presented last month, the board can discuss going back to family-paid meals or keeping free meals for all. Stacey Cooper has been looking into different breakfast options that are less sugary. We do feel keeping breakfast at the elementary school in the classroom greatly increases the number of students who eat breakfast. Again, the number of meals served is why it is self-sustaining. If that decreases, it will cost the district money if you stay in that CEP program. So, again, she's been looking into less sugary breakfast options that can still be served in the classrooms. So, questions, thoughts?
Are they offering that CEP again this year?
Yeah, we qualify for it again. We can, and again, that she has to, what? For 4 years.
Oh, okay.
So we can opt out in annually within that, but it's offered, like, because we were offered it, it's offered us for 4 years. Yeah.
If we don't serve enough, though, it could cost us title money in the end. Is that how?
So I think the title money is tied in by the number of students who qualify for free and reduced meals. That's where we get, like, that's where they get the funding for title. And so it's not based on meals served. However, if we are in the CEP program, the only numbers that they pull are those who are automatically certified, meaning that they qualify for state benefits. If we're not having families fill out the forms to show that they would qualify based on income, it can affect looking at the title cert, like the number of students who qualify. So basically, it was during the board convention. During the board convention in January, I went to a session on the free meal stuff and heard from some other schools, Green Bay area, and then some in the Milwaukee area, that really push filling out that paperwork, even if you're on the CEP program, to help with that. So it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't on the surface directly affect those title funds, but if we don't have people filling out the applications, it can decrease the number that are recognized that would qualify for free or reduced. So it's only those automatic certified. And then we're not catching some of those, especially the reduced, because many of the reduced ones aren't on state aid, aren't the direct certs. So we just need to really push filling out that paperwork. I had other districts, like I said in that session, talked about framing it differently instead of calling it like qualifying for free and reduced, like really educational benefits, you know, forms and, you know, that kind of thing. Like just framing it different to get people to fill it out.
So the last question year, is, do we want to stay in the CEP program?
Last year, when we voted it in, didn't we think we might end up owing money?
Yes,
okay.
We actually kind of said we would.
Yeah.
We would.
Okay.
So since it didn't cost us anything, does that give us more money to look at healthier options since we thought it was going to cost us money and it's not?
We're sitting at a good fund balance.
Okay.
Okay.
And just a question for Stacy. What kind of foods are you kind of looking at, you know, to replace?
So there are new regulations coming out with reducing the sugary kind of options for breakfast. So with the supplier that we have, it seems to me that more companies are bringing in the less sugar options. They're still just not prepackaged. So there's still that timing of potentially needing someone if we wanted to go with eggs every day or something like that. I have found two products so far that are prepackaged that I can put on the menu right away.
That are less sugary, more
eggs, egg and whole grain.
Good.
And Kate had a question about if we could do more nutritious and still not end up paying money, like still stay in CEP.
Yeah. I can do the best I can.
I'll try reaching out to Providence Health Foundation that connects me with West.
That's who started our breakfasts.
At the middle high school.
High school, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so everybody knows about, so we want to stay with CEP.
I think so.
And again, at this meeting, like that part of it is what has to be determined, staying with the CEP. Again, if we want to look into what Stacey had talked about, less packaged things where we need more another person to help get things ready in the mornings and adding that staff member, we can discuss that at a further meeting. But this had to be decided in June, just the CEP or no CEP.
Okay.
Good?
Yep.
Three?
Yeah.
All right. E-2025-2026 CISA 8 service proposal.
In your board packet is a 2025-2026 CISA service proposal. This is an $82,000 increase. However, we are using CISA next year for occupational therapy services because our OT is retiring. We will contract less time for what we had for our employees. So instead of a contract for like an individual person, we're going through CISA for those services. So while other services through CISA have increased in cost, this contract is actually less than last year because we don't have that separate occupational therapist contract with benefits. If you take that separate OT contract with benefits and add in the CISA contract from last year, this is less. Like just the CISA contract itself is more, but when you factor in that other, what we're bringing over to the CISA contract, it is less.
All right, questions? All right, F, Trap Team National Tournament Trip.
The Trap Team is seeking permission to take 11 students to the national competition in Mason, Michigan. This is an out-of-state and overnight trip. They have also requested the use of two vans. A memo from head coach Randall Kapiski is in your board packet, and he is present at the meeting if anyone has questions.
When is that tournament?
July.
Oh, quick. Does anybody have any questions for him? We're all okay with. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. G, special education paraprofessional part time to full time.
Our special education department needs more coverage for student needs and is asking to make a 5-hour position into a 7.5-hour position. This will make that position eligible for benefits. Obviously has an added cost to that, but it is to cover IEP minutes for next school year.
Questions? No? I mean, we're required to have coverage due to IEPs. So. All right, H, NEOLA policy updates.
Today we only have one policy update. Policy 5411 is part of, it says Act 10. It's Act 20 legislation, sorry. The reading bill. Districts must have a policy on third grade promotion by July 1st, 2025, but it does not need to go into effect until September of 2027. It can also be adjusted in the meantime. This policy by NEOLA puts us in compliance with that
statute. All right, policy committee members, no red flags, nothing?
No.
All right, number 10, items scheduled for action, A, resignations.
Occupational therapist Maria Knippel has decided to retire. The board is asked to accept her resignation.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number 2, elementary paraprofessional.
Elementary paraprofessional Heidi Kitzlar has tendered her resignation.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle.
I'll second.
Seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Number 3, middle school track coach.
Middle school track coach Shane Graves has tendered his resignation as middle school track coach.
All right, you guys are all way too quiet.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Caitlin.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. I know we don't want to lose him, but still. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. B, appointments. Number 1, elementary teachers.
McKenna Berth is recommended for approval as an elementary teacher.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried.
You can skip the next two. The elementary paraprofessional, elementary part-time secretary, we do not have someone to bring forward. We put those on in case we got someone in the meantime, but we have not gone through the process for hiring for that yet.
Okay. So. Number 4, volunteers and chaperones. Of the entire list that's presented?
Yes.
All right, motion by Caitlin.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Here's my favorite part. C, resolution for use of cash balance for 2024-2025.
The board is asked to approve a resolution to allow the use of the 2024-2025 cash balances to meet its obligations. It's done annually, and a copy of the resolution is included in your packet.
Yep. Authorization for administration to use whatever cash is left in fiscal year 2024-2025 to pay any bills that may be coming in between now and the end of the fiscal year or after for services provided in the year 2024-2025. I need a motion.
I make a motion.
And a second. A motion by Chris.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. Roll call, Chris.
Granda?
Yes.
Greasy?
Yes.
Cherry?
Yes.
Heidi Wald? Yes. Hansen?
Yes.
DeShane?
Yes.
Siebert?
Yes.
All right. Motion carried. All right. E. Resolution authorizing payment of obligations.
Board is asked to approve resolution giving spending authority for the operation of the school district between July 1st, 2025 and the final 2024-2025 budget adoption at the annual meeting in August. 2025-2026 budget adoption at the annual meeting in August. This is done annually, and a copy of the resolution is included in your board packet. Thank you.
Resolution of the school board authorizing payment of obligations for spending authority between July 1st, 2025 and final adoption of 2025-2026 budget per state statute 120.13 sub 33 during the period between July 1st, 2025 and the final adoption of the budget by the school board after the budget hearing under section 65.90 to spend money as needed to meet the immediate expenses of operating and maintaining the public instruction in the school district. I need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Kim. Chris, roll call.
Granda?
Yes.
Gracie?
Yes.
Cherry?
Yes.
Heidi Wald? Yes. Hansen?
Yes.
DeShane?
Yes.
Siebert?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. All right, 2024-2025 budget revisions.
Board is asked to approve the 2024-2025 budget revisions as discussed earlier in the meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Corey. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. F 2025-2026 District Workers' Compensation and General Liability and Property Insurance Renewal.
The board is asked to approve the renewal for workers' compensation and general liability and property insurance. A copy of that premium is in your board packet. It's a decrease of $1,403 from the 2024-2025 premium.
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. G, 2025-2026 Student Accident Insurance Renewal.
Board is asked to approve the student accident insurance renewal and can make any decision it would like about the added catastrophic benefit. Do you want to include the catastrophic or? Okay.
Motion by Caitlin.
I'll second.
Seconded by Sunny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. H, 2025-2026 Food Service Pricing Options.
Board can take any action it would like on the topic of meal pricing for the 2025-2026 school year.
I make a motion that we continue with the CEP again for this year.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Seconded by Corey. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. 2025-2026 CESA 8 Service Proposal.
Board is asked to approve the 2025-2026 CESA 8 Service Proposal as presented earlier in the meeting.
I'll make a motion to accept that proposal.
Motion by Lyle.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. J, Trap Team National Tournament Trip.
The board is asked to approve the Trap Team's out-of-state and overnight trip to Mason, Michigan to participate in the national tournament.
I'll second.
Motion by Caitlin, seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion? Uh-huh. Motion carried.
Good luck, Randall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, special education paraprofessional part-time to full-time.
Due to increasing special education numbers at the elementary level, the board is asked to approve the move from a part-time position to a full-time position with benefits.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Lyle. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. L, NEOLA policy updates.
Board is asked to approve policy 5411. This is a new policy that is required by Act 20 to be in place by July 1st, 2025.
I make that motion.
Motion by Chris.
Sir.
Seconded by Corey. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. M, 2025-2026 WIAA membership.
Board is asked to approve the district's 2025-2026 membership in the WIAA. The cost of the membership is $0.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Kim.
Second.
Seconded by Chris. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. 2025-2026 elementary and middle high school teaching staff lists.
Board is asked to approve the elementary and middle high school teaching staff list for the 2025-2026 school year. A copy of the teaching staff lists are in your board packet.
Can we table one of the contracts until completion of the DPI investigation?
The board can do as it pleases.
But I didn't hear. I can't.
If they can table the approval of one of the contracts until the DPI investigation is complete. The contract's already there and has been issued. However, if the license is revoked, then that is a condition of the contract.
Null and void.
So contracts are already issued, whether the list is approved or not. Unless it's gone through the non-renewal process, teacher contracts renew.
Oh, so no matter what we do.
Yes and no. So it's a timing thing. So contracts are issued, and then they go into effect, unless the teacher says no, or signs it, they go into effect June 15th. That's just the timing of it. Now,
per statute?
Per statute.
Thank you.
Yeah. So moving forward now for the contracts that have already been issued for next year, if there's a desire based on whatever reason, whether it be an investigation or anything else, then you go through the termination process of that contract. So at this point, the contract is in effect. This is just the list, but mm-hmm. it's not as though the board is precluded from
taking action further if,
taking action
if
down
something.
The
if done. Yes.
Yep.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, I need a motion.
I make a motion.
Motion by Chris.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Lyle. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. Oh, fall 2025 Start College Now Distance Learning NWTC classes.
The board is asked to approve the fall 2025 Start College Now and Distance Learning NWTC classes. List of classes and the number of students is in your board packet.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Motion by Caitlin, seconded by Kim. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. 11, recess to closed session as provided by state statute 19.85 sub 1 sub c sub g, considering employment, promotion, compensation, and performance evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility, and conferring with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is likely, it is or is likely to become involved. I need a motion.
Make a motion.
Motion by Corey.
Second.
Seconded by Sunny. Roll call, Chris.
Grandaw.
Yes.
Gracie.
Yes.
Cherry.
Yes.
Heidi World, yes. Hanson.
Yes.
Deshane.
Yes.
Siebert.
Yes.
Right, we are in closed session at 7:02 p.m. Abstentions, motion carried. We're back in open session at 8:35.
Thank you, Tommy. It's open.
Who's doing Corey's job?
Yeah, he's the doorman.
You're right, the board.
No,
you have to stay
in the recording.
Yes.
No action was taken in closed session. I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I make the motion.
Motion by Chris.
Second.
Stand by Corey. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. We're adjourned at 8:36.